Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are. This is VIP interview series number 9. And we're going to take you to Cloud 9 with the famous, the myth, the man, the legend that is Mike Gilday. How are you doing, Mike?
I'm doing well, Danny. Thank you for that introduction. I appreciate it.
Well, to be fair, have you ever seen the film Braveheart?
Of course.
So a lot of people may not have seen it, and it's one of my favourite films. And Braveheart, for those who haven't seen it, is about a guy called William Wallace, Scottish guy who, you know, wins freedom. I mean, that word itself kind of is quite a famous scene in it. But the thing is, when they talked about William Wallace, it's similar to Mike Gilday. William Wallace, before you met him, he was 9 foot tall. The guy could shoot fireballs out of his bum. He was the Midas touch is Mike Gilday. And when we talk about when I first joined the company, even Claire mentioned you and the success you had, seeing you and knowing you now for the last year and a half, the performance is so consistent and you're constantly absolutely killing it at one of the biggest customers in the world. Hopefully today you'll be able to share a little bit about who you are, a little bit about your journey, and a little bit about your future. And I'm very appreciative that you're taking the time out, because I'm sure you're probably trying to fill another 50 jobs right now anyway. So we'll start with a little bit about you. So why don't you start us off with, who is Mike Gilday? Who's the man behind this urban myth?
All right, Danny. You're making me want to get out some blue face paint and crack my face like William Wallace.
There you go.
I'm from the Washington, D.C. area. I've lived in this area my entire life. I have 4 children. Ages are 17, 14, 7, and 3. So they keep me very busy. But they're also a big part of the motivation in my life. So that's you know, keeps me busy outside of my time here working for Lorien. But right out of college, I got into staffing. It wasn't even 3 weeks. I had interviewed while I was in my last semester. I knew I wanted to do it. I knew people in the business. I saw them doing well. They had nice cars at young ages. And I was just like, you know, I need to get into something where I can kind of control my future and sell and build relationships. So I went to work for Aerotech, an Allegis company right out of college, and spent almost 3 years with them before transitioning over to what was then core staff. I came in as part of core staff's technology group. Matt Dunham was part of that at that time. Ian Malloy as well. There's not very many of us left at this point, but Matt Grimes also came in a bit after me and joined the team. But that's how it happened. I was working at Aerotech, where they said you could sell into these 3 zip codes. This is your territory. And when I came to core staff, they're like, you can have BEC, Maryland, and Virginia, and any customers that you break in these states or these locations, you can follow them anywhere in the U.S. So that gave me just like such a huge opportunity. I was like, you know, other companies have 50 to 100 sales reps in this space that are staying busy on this, and I get to have it all to myself. Like, this is something that I can really build out, and I'm glad I did it, because it's really been one of the best experiences of my life, especially professionally.
Amazing. What a story. So you and Dunham, that's not a bad group of people. And Grimes coming in, Malloy, that's an amazing bunch of people. How long ago was that?
So I came in 2007. I think Grimes joined us in 2009. Dunham was before me. Ian Malloy was, even before Dunham, I believe. I could have my timeline a little bit off, but...
No, but that's 15, 20 years of... being in staffing, working for a group within, a brand originally here, which is now gone. And then obviously Lorien, Escom benefited from you moving over. And so tell us about your journey within the technology space, because obviously it sounds like you've been in tech for a long, long time.
Yes. So when I first came into, Lorien back in 07, there wasn't much to go after as far as, existing tech clients. Really just leveraged, my relationships in the industry here in the DC market. I found quite a bit of opportunity within the government sector, where we found contractors who could hire our clients, who could hire contractors through us that did not require clearances. That was one of our barriers, but did quite a bit of perm. you know, when I first started in this business at Core Staff, and then, you know, eventually, you know, worked our way over to building those contract relationships with some of our other customers. I think 2009 was the first time that we got somebody placed at Amazon. That was the first one. And, you know, it wasn't a fast growing account. That was an account where we maybe had 5 placements in a year and then 10 in the next year. And it wasn't a huge lift until, you know, the cloud really started to take off. Yeah. Okay. And then we started to see a lot of, you know, multiple headcount. I think that was maybe around 2013 or so.
Beautiful. So tell us, so we know, we're very aware that Amazon, a jungle out there, but it's been probably the best opportunity of growth for the company and obviously for yourself as an individual. How did you first break into that company? And then what do you think you've done over the last, you know, many years that have established your, you know, your name, your relationship and so forth? So if you give, because what I hope is that the team can really understand, look, you're everyone talks about you as Braveheart, but you're just a good guy doing a great job. So it's kind of like, how can they copy and paste what the Mike Gilday has done?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, so that was a, you know, every opportunity like this, I think also has, you know, a bit of luck built into it. But it was an introduction. I was introduced to somebody. I was calling on a person at Amazon, but not the right person. And I was persistent with that person for months and months and months, maybe even years. And at some point, he introduced me to somebody else who has been probably my number one champion in this industry, somebody who I have a very strong relationship with still to this day. And that person, I started working on him for a while, and they had needs that didn't come up right away, but eventually they had needs. And, you know, the hiring process was extremely brutal. We had to suffer through a lot. None of the recruiters really wanted to stick with it because they wanted to interview every candidate 7 or 8 times. And we really had to kind of work with them to kind of get through, you know, what was going to work and not lose candidates that, who were good, you know. But over time, you know, we slimmed that down. They also were in a position where they needed to make hires more quickly. So, you know, they were motivated themselves. And, you know, we broke the account with a Linux systems admin or something like that. They needed somebody who could come in and write some automation scripts on their servers that would, you know, handle some sort of a task. So that's what we helped them with. That person went in and did excellent. And then they needed more. And then they needed, you know, needed 10, needed 15, and the skill sets duplicated and they needed different skill sets. And luckily at that time there was no MSP in place. It was all direct bill to Amazon. We would send our invoices over there just to their random office address in Seattle, and they would get paid. So
amazing.
Incredible how much. Nobody knew how big it was going to get. Yeah.
No, I don't think anyone did. Even the guy who was thinking it was going to be a bookstore. So amazing. Actually, I remember seeing an interview with him, and he actually never thought it was going to be a bookstore. He thought it was going to be everything it's become. So Gary Player says, the more I practice, the luckier I get. And I know a little bit of it becomes luck, timing and everything, but I think you created your own luck because you talked a lot about, I got in with this manager, but it was the networking that eventually broke me into the right manager. Then it was persistence that got you there. Initially, it was an interview process, which was clearly tough, but over the time, there was urgency required. But then, do you feel the interviews process then versus now is a little bit different?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Now they spend 15 minutes with somebody and make a decision. It's speed dating at this point, for contractors anyway. But I mean, every customer is very different. Like every person at Amazon, you have to treat like a different customer. And every conversation you have to handle differently, because especially as you get it to be more personal, you know, some of those personal conversations, you know, just they're very different for each person. It's just remembering what that individual, you know, wants out of the relationship and making sure that you tie that into every conversation and transaction is what's important. You know, I had the one person who was the first one to hire from us at Amazon is not somebody who left a lot of one-on-one attention, although we do it, you know, from time to time, and doesn't like the lunches, doesn't like the happy hours, doesn't like to go to the range and shoot a gun or go play golf, none of that stuff. But there's an incredible amount of trust and transparency between us where, you know, he can tell me he needs something handled a certain way, you know, in very few words, and I can handle it, you know, exactly how he needs it done. And there's a lot of, you know, in our business, a lot of, you know, trust in handling a situation with just tact and, you know, and you're dealing with people. You know, he's somebody who has an extremely big heart. So even when there's been tough times, he's had to cut people off on their contracts. He's always handled it with a certain amount of grace that you know, I think he trusts me and our team to pass on to contractors.
I think you build that trust as well. I think it takes time. It's a tipping point. But there's a couple of things I want to jump on, if that's okay with you. You talked about you have to tailor. It's kind of like tailoring your approach per customer. I feel like recruitment is a standard science of a process. However, there's the art to how you treat different people. How do you establish and identify the different ways to communicate or approach? Is it through mistakes? Is it through luck? Is it through a process that you've created?
I don't know if it's a given process. I think you just can tell from the vibe you get from somebody whether or not what you're doing is working. You know, if they're giving you, you know, push off and not, you know, responding to what you're giving, then you adapt and you try something different. If they're speed through in your conversation, you speed through your conversation. You try to keep their pace. You know, if you're giving you a vibe where you only have a certain amount of time or questions to get out the ones that are the most important so that you can, you know, take something from the conversation and then always follow up. You know, that's the biggest thing for me, like over the years, I've always been one to follow up, make sure that I'm trying something relevant into the conversation. Whether it be about business or personal, you know, to try to forward that relationship. And I've always found that it takes multiple touches to get a relationship to the point where they'll let you have some more of that personal time. It's not going to happen in the first, third, you know, second, third. You got to get there and you have to let it organically happen. You can't force it too quickly.
Yeah. You know, I've wrote down about five things. I just want to summarize because there's so many amazing tidbits that we can give people. You know, we did an average when we were looking at all our business years ago, and it takes like average of five calls for someone to trust you. Is that fifth call? Oh, mm-hmm. You do exist. You are here. I hear your name now. Fifth time. Okay. It resonates. Some people give you a job straight away, and that's where you go, oh, it's lucky. But it's that methodology and that metrics. A few things you said there, you know, adapt. I completely agree. You know, it's not the strongest, the most intelligent that survive. Otherwise I wouldn't be here. It's those who can adapt. So that's the first thing. I think secondly, you talked about mirroring body language, mirroring the way they talk, mirroring to make them feel comfortable. You know, if they lean in, you lean in. If they lean out, you lean out. Mm-hmm. If they talk at a fast pace, you talk at a fast pace. So I really liked what you said there. Key questions. What are the killer questions? If you've only got 2 minutes that you need to know, you want to know everything, but what are the right ones that's going to make the difference? And I think you talked about other things like relevance, personal, business. What is relevant to them? What do they want to talk about? But I think the biggest thing, apart from, you know, all of that is really important. The follow-up is everything. And if you follow up, it shows you're on it, it shows you're there. And I think that's the difference. That's the game changer because you talked a lot. You went back to, you know, persistence, networking. That took time. A long time, but look at the fruits of your labor. You planted so many seeds and look at the Amazon jungle you've created. It's amazing. Sorry, that's such a dad thing to do, but it's amazing, Mike. It really is. So in terms of, you know, if you were to say there's one or two things you would recommend others to do, because there's a lot of little tactics and advice, but it's day plan. What would you suggest for me to do if I was a salesperson trying to build out my Amazon or my new client spread?
I think it's very important, even though it's kind of changed over the last 5 years, maybe even 10 years, like the getting out of the office and going to see people face to face, I think is just so important. And like, I think, you know, trying to sell to, you know, companies that have local presence to where you are is just huge. I'm able to get out and go have coffee with a customer and it doesn't disrupt my whole day. I'm able to go have lunch, happy hours, all that stuff. And I just think if salespeople can make an effort to make sure that they're doing, you know, 2 to 3 outside of the office relationship building meetings per week, whether it be in the client's office or, like I mentioned, the coffee or the lunch, that takes things so much further, so much more quickly. Yeah, and I think absolutely. That if we can get back to that, because I think a lot of us have gone away from it, that we'll see, you know, new brands come in, we'll see new you know, departments at companies that maybe we currently work with that we're not doing business with. It's what our competition is doing. I talk to my customers all the time about, you know, who's gaining traction on us, you know, and it's the companies that have at these data centers. It's very hard to get into them. Some of these sales reps are literally, you know, parking their car outside the security gate and trying to wave guys down as they're pulling into the site just for, absolutely, you know, a quick 2 minutes of, here's my business card. Can we talk sometime? Cause it's that hard to get people on the phone.
You're so right. And it's funny because, like, I think a lot of people will go, well, my client's based over there or there. I'm like, well, go and book travel over there and then kill 8 birds with 1 stone. Try to meet 8 other managers on site. Like, if you can't go local, then think intelligently and efficiently how you can go over there. Because one of my biggest customers was in Denver. I'd go there twice a month and I would then meet 20 managers for 2-3 days because I'd maximize the time on there. And I remember going to every time at the client site, I'd see a few agencies that I always saw because, mm-hmm, you know, the competition are going to be going there to try to build those relationships. So it's, you know, it's the best ideas are sometimes stolen. Do what the competition does, because, mm-hmm, they're obviously doing something right. But you're 100%, it's much more, efficiency-wise, if you've got them local, go and meet them locally. Brilliant, brilliant piece of advice. So we've talked a lot about who you are, what you've done, and the successes so far, and how to then go out and be even better. Your future at Lorien, you know, we don't want you going anywhere. You're doing an amazing job. So what is your future looking like, Mike?
Yes. So we want to grow this infrastructure team, you know, data center / infrastructure. You know, that's our goal, is to grow it. You know, we want to bring in new customers. We want to get as much of the market share in the current client space as we can. We have some strategies in place for that. You know, Amazon specifically has some data center clusters that we don't get as much market share as we'd like to. So we're looking right now for a strategic hire in Denver, somebody who can get up to that Oregon space at least once a quarter. Maybe more if necessary, but we want to be able to just expand on what we do in the data center space right now. Right now, Lorien is known in our space as a company you can go to for almost your full life cycle of data center services, from deploying a brand new data center, pushing new racks into a site, turning them up, the operational lifespan when you're, you know, taking care of the servers throughout their lifespan, and then the decommissioning stage where you take them down. There's also, you know, other units within the data centers that run networking, so your routers, your switches, your facility side, mechanical, electrical. But even outside the data center, there's people who are, you know, professional IT workers in software development and business analytics who are working behind the scenes to tell the data where to go on the server so they can be properly bounced in the data center space on the physical equipment. We even go so far as working with companies like Jabil, where they manufacture the servers from the component level. You know, we have all sorts of experiences that other companies don't, from a physical standpoint on server hardware, from its creation till its destruction and everything in between. We want to be able to maximize that and go a little bit further. I think the growth opportunity is going to be in those markets where we're not currently getting our share, and then also, you know, more on the BA and software side, where there's opportunities as well.
Well, that's brilliant. And if you look at the data center opportunities, where do you have a couple? I know you mentioned Jabil. Are there other opportunities that you're seeing right now?
Absolutely. So TikTok is a new client that we just signed in the very end of 2022 in December. We have 7 headcount there right now. We just got 2 offers from them yesterday.
Congratulations. So we'll go up to 9,
and then we thank you very much. And then we have 4 new openings on the board from them as of yesterday. So hopefully we can grab, you know, 2 to 4 of those, because we do have some competition right now. But the long-term plan is to edge out the competition, to outwork them, to provide better quality, and eventually hopefully take that business to a single source strategy like we have with Amazon and many of the spaces that we support at Amazon. They just give it to us. But there's also many where we compete with, you know, up to 10 companies. So, you know, our goal is always to prove to a customer that we're the best and to only work with us. Cause once they only work with us, I mean, there's nothing better than getting 100% of somebody's business.
No, I think it's amazing. And, you know, I always say to my teams is, the difference with us, and it sounds like Mike, you've got this nailed, is when you go to other agencies to look for these people, usually it takes, you're paying for them for the next 3 weeks of service. Whereas with Mike Gilday, you're paying for me for the last 10 years of what I've done. So it means that you can deliver same day the top quality candidates because you know the market as well as you do. And the future seems so bright with what you're doing. And, you know, it just sounds like a huge opportunity, a huge space. Very excited for you, my friend. Well done so far on your amazing career today. I'm sure everyone's going to be hopefully asking even further questions off the back of this, or overawed and scared to talk to you because now they know how good you really are. If there was one piece of advice you'd be giving anyone today, apart from, you know, go out and client meetings, but just in terms of the kind of like characteristics you hold and you expect from your team, what do you think makes a good person great?
In our business, I think it's your recruiting partners. You know, I have the best of the best supporting me. They have full access and transparency to hearing exactly what my customers are asking for. You know, we were very blessed to have, you know, our client who's great, but when they come into our office and they want to meet with us and do interview blitzes, you know, Matt, Dan, Molly, they've gotten to really hone their craft by listening to these managers talk about what they do like over and over and over again, and what doesn't work for them over and over and over again. We've had to have many coaching discussions with the active contractors over the years about what they're doing wrong that needs to be fixed. So all that history, and we're talking about hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of conversations. You know, all those discussions helps us to better identify when we're going to potentially hire somebody for a customer or consider somebody who's going to be a problem, right? And we can weed them out. It's just, we hit the nail on the head so many times because our recruiters are very dedicated to making sure that we're pushing along the people who are going to convert. Our conversion ratio with Amazon in 2022 is the highest it's ever been, and our competition doesn't come close. I bragged about it in the holiday note that I sent everybody. I was like, last year, I'm pleased to share that every position that went perm, that had the chance to go perm, of those 85% of our placements went perm. That's Amazon's goal when they hire from us, is to make them perm, and I think that's a testament to our recruiters being really, really good at making sure that the putting people across it have the right motivators in their path too.
And I think we spoke about this earlier before the session around radical candidates. Like, you can be direct because you care, and you can have these feedback sessions. And, you know, you've built an amazing team who deliver to your customers, but you've obviously built amazing relationships with your clients who become friends. How do you give that feedback without burning bridges?
I'm sorry, the feedback, could you?
Yeah, well, you talk about if you're doing these sessions with your contractors and giving feedback if they're not doing that well, and I'm sure with clients there were times where they're not doing that well. How do you deal with that so you make still a harmonious relationship?
Yeah, so some of my customers are actually pretty inexperienced managers at this point. Some of them have only been at Amazon for a year, and they're kind of afraid to give difficult feedback to me in some circumstances, so I warm it up with them. There's been plenty of times where the manager will call me up and list the five things that the person's doing that are all, each one of them, a reason to terminate the contract.
Yeah.
But they won't say, I want to terminate the contract. They'll just say, these are the things the person's doing. And I'm sitting there like, wow. Okay. I'm like, we're happy to talk to this person, but if you think it would be, if you think we're beyond the point of repair, it may be best for us just to, end this contract. You know, we can potentially try to help the person find something that's a better suit for them. But in the meantime, we can find you somebody new who's going to come in and not have all these issues and be more excited about the opportunity. So and that's definitely a common conversation that we have.
I think the difference with you, Mike, is most consultants, and I admit myself, would be afraid to lose a contractor, whereas you're going, no, but the long term, the big picture is we want to protect our customers and get them the right candidates. Long term, it's going to benefit everybody.
Absolutely.
Love it. Well, Mike, I've taken up a lot of your time. I can't thank you enough for all the work you've done, you're doing, and the excitement you're bringing to the business. And look, man, I'm sure a lot of people are going to reach out after this. I know I've constantly been so impressed with your consistency. It's one of my stories that I can share, that we work with some of the biggest customers in the world. We definitely do. And this story is an example to all of us about perseverance, big picture, working together with your teams, working together with your customers to truly be the best. And I'll go back to that quote from Gary Player, like the harder you work, the luckier you get. Man, you've been very lucky then, because look at the performance, and you're outworking every day, most of them. And you still, and you're doing this with four kids, which definitely isn't easy. I've got one, and that's more than enough. So congrats, brother. Thank you so much for taking out the time. I'm sure everyone will really appreciate it. But you have an amazing week, and thank you again. And everyone, I hope you enjoyed this as much as I did, and we'll speak to you soon.